exciting and happy things, and I get to do that today. Bill and Brenda were married on Friday, I guess, and so we will be having a celebration and a blessing of that marriage at some time in the future. I don't know exactly when that's going to be, but you can look forward to that. So we will include them in the prayers of the church a little bit later in the service. So we begin this morning in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. God speaks, and recognizing his grace and mercy, we respond. The psalmody appointed for today comes from Psalm 18. Let us hear them and respond in song as we begin our worship. I love you, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress, my deliverer. My God, my rock, in whom I take refuge. My shield, in the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. I call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised, and I am saved from my enemies. In my distress, I called upon the Lord. To my God, I cried for help. From his temple, he heard my voice, and my cry to him reached his ears. We sing the opening hymn, Come Thou Almighty King. You may be seated for that.
Thank you.
gracious God has promised to hear us for Jesus' sake, and when we call out for pardon and peace, we stand before him confessing our sins. Heavenly Father, we admit that we have often put our own wills ahead of yours. In our pride, we have demanded reasons from you for what has gone wrong in our lives. We have not called out to you in all humility, but have relied on our own righteousness instead of asking you for mercy and grace. We have let the turmoil of the world around us distract us from keeping our lives focused on your strong word and salvation it proclaims. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, forgive us. By the power of your Holy Spirit, move us to paths in which we may serve you and proclaim your saving word to those who do not know your loving promises. Although God's law condemns us for our fallen condition, with all our sinful thoughts, words, and deeds, he has promised that everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. As a commissioned servant of Christ and by his authority, I therefore forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Almighty and most merciful God, you have opened our hearts to hear your accusing and acquitting word, which saves us from our sin and defeats the forces of evil. Strengthen our faith so that we may live confidently under your care and spread the news of your grace in what we say and do. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated as the first two lessons are read.
The Old Testament reading comes from Job, chapter 38, verses 4 to 18. When were you when I laid the foundation of the earth? Tell me if you have understanding. Who determined its measurements? Surely you know. Or who stretched the line upon it? What were its bases sunk, or who laid its cornerstone? When the morning stars sang together, and all the sons of God shouted for joy. Or who shut in the sea with doors when it burst out from the womb? When I made clouds in garments, and thick darkness its swaddling band, and prescribed limits for it, and set bars and doors, and said, thus far you shall come, and no further, and there shall your proud waves be stayed. Have you commanded the morning since your days began and caused the dawn to know its place, that it might take hold of the skirts of the earth and the wicked be shaken out of it? It is changed like clay under the seal, and its features stand out like garments. From the wicked their light is withheld, and their uplifted arm is broken. Have you entered into the spring of the sea or walked in the recess of the deep? Have the gates of death been revealed to you, or have you seen the gates of deep darkness? Have you comprehended the expanse of the earth? Declare if you know all this. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The epistle reading is from Romans chapter 10, 5 to 17. For Moses writes about the righteousness that is based on the law, that the person who does the commandment shall live by them, but the righteousness shall based on faith says, do not say in your heart who will ascend into heaven, that is to bring Christ down, or who will descend into the abyss, that is to bring Christ up from the dead. But what does it say? The word is near you, in your mouth and in your hearts. That is the word of faith that we proclaim, because if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes and is justified, and with the mouth one confesses and is saved. For the scripture says, everyone who believes in him will not be put to shame, for there is no distinction between Jew and Greek, for the same Lord is Lord of all, bestowing his riches on all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. How then will they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in him of whom they have never heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? And how are they to preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news. But have they not all obeyed the gospel? For Isaac says, Lord, who has believed what he has heard from us? So faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Please stand for the reading of the gospel. The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 14th chapter. Glory be to you, O Lord. Immediately after feeding the 5,000, Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side, while he dismissed the crowds. And after he had dismissed the crowds, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. When evening came, he was there alone. But the boat by this time was a long way from land, beaten by the waves, and the wind was against them. And in the fourth watch of the night, he came to them walking on the sea. But when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified and said, "It is a ghost." And they cried out in fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, "Take heart, it is I. Do not be afraid." And Peter answered him, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." And he said, "Come." And so Peter got out of the boat and walked on the water and came to Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried out, "Lord, save me." Jesus immediately reached out his hand and took hold of him, saying, "O you of little faith, why did you doubt?" And when they got in the boat, the wind ceased. And those in the boat worshipped him, saying, "Truly you are the Son of God." This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Living together in trust and hope, we confess our faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. May be seated as we sing the sermon hymn.
Thank you.
Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The Old Testament reading today comes from the book of Job. And as I read and researched, it occurred to me that I wouldn't be able to do that if you folks hadn't asked me to come. And so I thank you for that. It gives me the opportunity, it forces me to do some things that I always wanted to do and never really quite found the time to do. And so my thanks to you for asking me to come. You remember Job. Job has lost everything. His family, his livestock, even his wife has said, curse God and die. Job's friends aren't much help either. They keep talking against God and telling him what he should be doing. And Job begins to doubt. And several times in the books, in the chapters before today's chapter 38, Job asks for a meeting with God so that he can plead his case. And all this is happening because God and Satan have a wager. And Job is caught in the middle. And it doesn't seem fair. That meeting that Job requested in those earlier chapters comes to fruition in today's reading. God says, okay, Job, roll up your sleeves. We're going to get started at this. And Job expects an answer. But instead of an answer, he gets questions. There's not the answer he expected as to, well, why am I experiencing all of this grief and pain? Rather, God indicates Job with a flood of questions that are designed to convince Job that God knows what he's doing and that God is doing things on his own and he doesn't need Job's help or anyone else's for that matter in his care and concern for Job. Where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth? God asks. Who laid the cornerstone? Who shut in the sea with doors and said, this far your proud waves shall go and no farther? God asked Job, have you entered into the springs of the sea or walked in the deep recesses of the deep? And God goes on asking more questions for the next two chapters. And then finally in chapter 40, Job, after being questioned for a couple of chapters, finally realizes that he doesn't have the answers that God has. And so he says to God, behold, I am of small account. What shall I answer you? Essentially, okay, God, you got it. You're right. I have spoken about things about which I have no understanding. An interesting story. The gospel is much simpler and shorter, but there's still some things we're going to compare. Jesus has just fed the 5,000. He sent the disciples across the Sea of Galilee, and he himself has gone out on the mountain to pray. During the fourth watch, that's about 4 o'clock or so in the morning, a storm comes up, and the disciples are rowing against the wind. And at best, they have a torch maybe to hold up so they can sort of see where they're going. And somewhere in that dim light, they see what they think is a ghost. But Peter recognizes this could be Jesus. And he says, command me to come to you. Not ask me, but command me to come to you. And Jesus says to Peter, come. And Peter gets out of the boat and begins to walk. But then the text says he sees the wind. We can't see the wind. I suspect that means that he realized where he was and he could see the danger that he was in, at least from an earthly standpoint. And he begins to sink and he cries out to Jesus, and Jesus reaches out and takes him by the hand and returns him to the boat safely. As I looked at these two texts, there are several things that they have in common. One of those things that they have in common is faith. In the gospel, Peter has the faith to step out on that water simply because he's going to Jesus and Jesus has commanded him to do that. In the Old Testament, Job continues to have faith even in spite of all of the bad things that have happened to him and in spite of the advice that he gets from his friends. There's also fear in both of these stories. That fear seems to get in the way. Peter becomes afraid when he sees the wind. Job fears that God is picking on him and treating him badly. Both of the texts have a storm. The beginning, the first verse of chapter before our reading begins today, it says, God spoke to Job from a whirlwind, is the term that's used. Actually, that word means a bad storm or a hurricane. And in the New Testament reading, Jesus is walking on the waters where there is a storm and high winds. There's also doubt. Peter doubts that Jesus will be able to keep him safe, and he cries out asking for help. And Job doubts that God is being fair with him or that he's going to give him an answer. But both of these men acknowledge that something is going on. Job soon realizes that he doesn't have all the answers, that he doesn't know what God knows, that God is much farther advanced than he is. And so he acknowledges God's sovereignty. And Peter realizes that without Jesus there, he would not be able to survive. And so he calls out to him. How often do we suffer from those same similarities that are with these two stories? We leave church on Sunday morning and somehow there's this feeling of confidence that our faith is strong and we're ready to face the world. God is there with us. We're going to be able to get through anything that happens, anything that life can throw at us. Our fear seems diminished because Jesus is walking there beside us, and we're unafraid of the storms of life. Mentally and intellectually, we can easily acknowledge that God is sovereign. After all, he created the earth. But then in practice, that sovereignty is not so easy to accept. It may be even unfathomable for us to accept that, especially when the storms of life, when the reality of Monday morning comes around, when we get up and we begin to realize this is a tough life that we have, that bad things could happen. Sometime during the week, we may learn of an illness or death of a friend. Sometime during the week, we may experience some financial loss, or we may hear about a spouse or a close friend who develops an illness. We read of disasters around the world, and we wonder why God would ever let those kinds of things happen. Our fears grow, and we begin to doubt God. We accuse him of not caring for us or not protecting us, and we question how he could allow something bad like that to happen to us or to good friends of ours. After all, we think we have a strong faith. We go to church every Sunday, and we question God's motivation. That confident faith that we had Sunday morning degrades to, where is God? Does he really care about me? It's times like that that we cry out to God and ask for help, and in crying out to God, we are humbled. We think about the kinds of questions that God asked Job. Where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth? Who determined its measurements? Who stretched a line out upon it? On what were its bases sunk? Or who laid its cornerstone? Or who shut in the sea? I like this line. Who shut in the sea with doors and prescribed limits for it and said, this far your waves shall come and no farther? When you go to the coast and you look at the ocean, it comes this far and no farther. And that's where God has drawn the line. In both of these texts today, we are called to trust. Both Peter and Job came face to face with the reality of their humanity. But notice that neither Job nor Peter are condemned for their questioning or for their lack of faith. Trials and tribulations certainly come in this world. When those trials come, we are called upon to repent and confess our sins. In the midst of our brokenness and weakness, we are called to entrust our body and our soul to this God that we love and that we trust. And he accomplishes all of those things, accomplishes all of his purposes, even in the midst of suffering, using us for his purposes. When we suffer, we need to remember that it was also Christ who suffered on the cross for us. It was his suffering and death that provided the salvation for the world. And there's suffering for us as well, as we are part of Jesus' life. Difficulties, trials, tumultation comes to us like it came to Paul. You remember that Paul complained of a thorn in his side. We don't know exactly what that is. But Paul says three times he asked God to make that thorn go away. And three times God said, "My grace is sufficient for you. For my power is made perfect in weakness." Therefore, Paul goes on, "I will boast all the more gladly of my weakness, so that the power of Christ may rest on me. For the sake of Christ, then," he says, "I am content with weakness and insults and hardships and persecutions and calamities. For when I am weak, then I am strong." God has a purpose for all of the trials and the tribulations that we experience. Our problem is that we don't have the big picture. And so we tend to jump to conclusions and complain that God isn't being fair to us. If you would notice in the reading from Paul just that I read a minute ago, Paul says that God's grace is sufficient for us, for him. It doesn't say was sufficient, it doesn't say will be sufficient, but is sufficient. That means it is sufficient for us today and every day in the present time of all the todays of our lives. So from the text that we read today, we can conclude that in the weakness of our trials and tribulations, the power of Christ is upon us. When we suffer, the power of Christ is shown in us. We need to remember that it is God who laid the foundations of the earth, that it is God who is in control of your life and of my life every day that we are alive. We need to remember that it is God doing his work, his way, through us. So today we turn to God when we come to the storms of life. When we come to those storms of life, we repent and we pray for God's guidance. The first line of our closing hymn for today goes like this: "Jesus, Savior, pilot me over life's tempestuous sea. Unknown waves before me roll, hiding rock and treacherous shoal. Chart and compass come from thee. Jesus, Savior, pilot me." Amen. Now may the peace that surpasses all understanding keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen. We receive the offering. We offer our gifts to God, acknowledging that all we have comes from Him. Please stand for the prayers of the church. We pray for all the people of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. God of creation, how quickly our faith weakens and we experience the trials and tribulations of this life. When the problems of life come, as they certainly do, help us to always remember that you are in control and that there is good purpose in our sufferings and weakness. Just as Jesus suffered to bring the wonderful blessing of salvation to the world, help us to know that in our weakness and suffering, the power of Christ may rest upon us as well. Lord, in your mercy. O God, in your word we read, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news. We pray that the Holy Spirit would strengthen and encourage all who proclaim the gospel in pulpits and hospitals, on battlefields and in refugee camps, offering the salvation that the word of Christ announces. We pray for all who put their faith into action, teaching the young, consoling the ill, comforting the grieving, and listening to the distraught. And we pray your healing power on and the presence with Paula, Dan, Dolores, Jerry, Audrey, Sherry, Piper, and Norm. We lift up those who cannot be with us today: Tom, Bonnie, Arlen, Fred, Denny, Karen, Marion, and Vi. Surround each of these with your love, O Lord. Strengthen them in their weakness and bless them with your healing presence. Lord, in your mercy. Lord Jesus, you said, "Take heart, it is I, do not be afraid." We ask for your gracious presence and protection for the people of faith around the world who endure persecution and stand with the weak. For the church in our land, confronting injustice and resisting indifference wherever they are found. And for ourselves, as we gather around word and sacrament and respond to the gospel in word and deed. Lord, in your mercy. God, who created the sun and moon and set them in motion, we pray for the safety of all who will be traveling this week to observe the eclipse. Protect all who will come to Oregon and keep them and us safe from calamity and danger. Lord, in your mercy. Lord, we pray for the wayward, the erring, and those who have left the faith, that in your mercy you would send someone, perhaps even us, to remind them or introduce them to your grace and mercy. Your love and forgiveness, use us and all Christians as your instruments according to your good and gracious will to proclaim the gospel. Lord, in your mercy. Heavenly Father, you made us male and female and said that we should join together in marriage. We pray your blessings upon the marriage of Brenda and Bill. Grant them love for you and each other for years of joy and happiness together. Lord, in your mercy. We pray for these things, O Lord, and whatsoever else we should have asked of you, so grant us by your mercy. Into your hands, Heavenly Father, we commend ourselves and all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy and praying that your will be done through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Lord, in your mercy. Taught by our Lord and trusting in his promises, we are bold to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord look upon you with favor and grant you his peace. Amen. You may be seated. If there are announcements, please come forward.
Well, after the eclipse, the day after the eclipse is the newsletter deadline. So please send me your tidbits for the newsletter for September. Thank you.
You remind me, I got to do that. It's kind of like a sermon, you know, there's another one every Sunday, and Sundays come around with great regularity. Other announcements? If not, we'll sing our closing hymn.
Thank you.
I was really touched by the background there. I hope you saw that. Go in peace, serve the Lord.